In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It doesn't seem right to hear about Jesus' crucifixion at this time of year. I mean, we're nowhere close to Lent or Easter. It's not even Thanksgiving. We're worse than those department stores already hawking Santa hats. I mean, we're gearing up right now for a celebration of holiday feasts and family time and gifts and joy. But instead, we get tears and blood, mockery and blasphemy, perverted justice and prophesied doom. Doesn't seem right. But that's the world we live in, isn't it? Doesn't seem right that the wicked flourish while the good get the short end of the stick. Corrupt politicians and bureaucrats bend the rule of law to suit their whim. Fat cat criminals walk free while people who try to do the right thing get kicked in the teeth. Blasphemers are exalted. Preachers are condemned. No one can say what is truth or a lie, human or parasite, man or woman, freedom or compulsion, good or evil without a boycott or a lawsuit or a mob. The old obsessed over childish squabbles while children dictate policy and kill each other and themselves. All while we preach and believe and trust in our good God and just King who rules over all of this mess. Doesn't seem right. This is what the people of Israel were lamenting against God. It's vain, they said, to serve God. I mean, what is the profit of our keeping his charge or walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and escape. What's the point of obedience and repentance and faith? There seems to be no distinction between the righteous and the wicked, the faithful and the blasphemous, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. It seems like you have to play the world's game if you want to get ahead, or even just survive. The whole world is getting more and more unjust and backwards and confused, cold and dangerous and dark. This whole world that God created has fallen into the domain of darkness. Doesn't seem right. And it never seemed worse than when the one pure and righteous man, Jesus, the light of the world, hung on nails to die in darkness. Here, the Creator God, through whom and for whom all things were made, was betrayed by his own creatures. Here, an innocent man was pinned between condemned criminals. Here, the upstanding righteous religious folk blasphemed their God as they killed the author of life. Here, the word of God made flesh is silenced by liars. Naked and crowned with thorns, a sign hung above his head, naming him for who he really is. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. What kind of backwards king is this? It doesn't seem right to call this humiliated God-man a king. And yet the truth is, this is the perfect place for us to see our king for who he really is. We won't see Christ, our King, as we expect, reigning from a glorious throne, but reigning from his bloody cross. This is where Christ comes into his kingdom. This is where Christ must reign to make everything right. Jesus' cross defines who he is as our King, defines his reign. Jesus of Nazareth, Christ the King, reigns from his cross to bring you into his kingdom. Now, this doesn't seem right to us unless we understand why he willingly went to the cross. God had created mankind to be his royal subjects and receive every good thing from his reign. But when we turned away from him, turned to sin, we exiled ourselves from his kingdom. Our sinful flesh hated God and so fled from his kingdom of light and freedom to the domain of darkness and slavery. That's the devil's kingdom, which now defines the world as we know it. Our sin divided us from God's kingdom like a huge chasm. And if we were to come into God's kingdom in our sin, the just law of that kingdom would rightly demand our death. It wouldn't be right for us sinners to be there in that good kingdom with our holy God. But Jesus wants you to be there with him. His love followed us even as we fled from him. He created us out of love, and that love demanded that he rescue us from slavery and bring us home to live under him in his kingdom. And if he didn't, then his love wouldn't really be love, and God wouldn't really be who he says he is. So his love for us drove him to bring us back to himself, and to do that, he had to get rid of your sin. He had to free you from sin's bondage and close the chasm that stood between you and himself. The only way to get rid of that sin was to win forgiveness for that sin. The King of all had to humble himself to be born as a human under his own law. He had to keep that law perfectly as a man, and he had to endure the punishment that that law demanded for your sin, so that justice would be served with you still alive. Jesus had to go to the cross in order to be the king of his good kingdom and for us to be included in that kingdom. To free us, Jesus had to destroy the shackles that Satan used to bind us and keep us in his domain. Jesus had to destroy our sin, take our sin away from us. To bring us into his own kingdom, he had to win peace between us and God by satisfying the demands of the law. Jesus had to exchange our sin for his own perfect righteousness. To be our king, Jesus had to make that cross his throne so that he could forgive us and make us new. Without the cross, there would be no resurrection, no new world, no kingdom to come. Without the atoning cross, sin would remain, death would reign, so that not even Jesus would have been risen from the dead. Without the cross, Jesus would be no king. Only Christ as the crucified king could he win his people for his kingdom, create a future for the entire cosmos. In him, Christ the crucified and living, all things really do hold together. The cross is the axis around which the universe turns. The life of the whole creation was balanced on Jesus' shoulders. The King of all glory, in whom all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, endured the humiliation and pain in order to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making blood by the peace by the blood of his cross and opening to us a way into his kingdom. By way of that cross and that cross only has God delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus knew this is what it took. And still he went willingly, driven by his love, to bear the sins of all, even the sins of the very ones who mocked and killed him. Father, forgive them. Even you. This is who your king is. This is why the crucifix is the banner and the battle standard of his kingdom. It doesn't seem right for us to exalt such a gruesome an image as Jesus hanging on the cross. But it is in that cross that Jesus made everything right. Really, everything. All of the injustice that we decry, all the corruption and lies and tyranny and murder of this world were overcome and brought to nothing by Jesus' cross. They've all been avenged on the cross. All of their evil is undone in eternity. Every source of sorrow and pain will be cast out of the kingdom to come. There will be no way for the wicked to weasel their way out of it. And every wound that they've caused you will be healed. All of the suffering that you endure in this broken world will be redeemed and overshadowed by the incomparable glory of the kingdom to come. All the evil inside you, too, will die with your death. For the first time, really the first time, you'll be free to live in true contentment and joy as you've never known. That's your life in God's kingdom. All the citizens of that kingdom will be your precious brothers and sisters, God's treasured possession now given to you to love and to treasure as well. So together we'll live in perfect peace and freedom under our King Jesus, who reigns from the power of his cross to bring us into his kingdom. The way of the kingdom of Christ and the way to the kingdom of Christ is only the way of Jesus' cross. There is no other way. It's only by the grace and forgiveness won there that we're made fit and worthy to live in his kingdom. Like that thief that hung next to Jesus on a cross of his own, we were under the same sentence of condemnation, just the same as the wicked in this world who despise and blaspheme God. And justly so, for we were going to receive the due reward for our deeds. If you only looked at us according to our sinful nature, you couldn't tell the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. On our own, our hearts are no cleaner than theirs, our desires no less selfish. But the deep distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who doesn't serve him, is where our faith lies. Do we believe all of Jesus' claims on us as our King? Do we believe Jesus' word when he says that our sins are real? Do we repent of those sins? And do we trust that those sins are forgiven by his death on the cross? Or do we reject him as our King? Reject his word and his cross and forgiveness. That's the distinction between good and evil, between faithful and mockers. And that distinction is going to be made clear on Judgment Day. It's going to be the distinction over Jesus' cross. Christ crucified is the one through whom we must pass into his eternal kingdom. We will be judged. And we'll be judged by our relation to that crucified and resurrected King now coming in glory. Judged not by comparing our righteousness to his to see if we're good enough, no sinner is. We'll be judged by whether or not we've received his cross-won gift of the righteousness of faith. For those who reject Jesus, that moment will be terrifying. They'll have to settle accounts with the one that they've cast aside. But for you who long to see him as your coming Savior, you'll finally get to hear that word of Jesus' promise fulfilled. You will be with me in paradise. Even now, Jesus reigns by the power of his cross to bring you into his kingdom. And he has already. Already now you live in his kingdom. It doesn't seem right that sinners like us would be welcomed here in this holy place. But by the gift of God's grace, here is where you belong. You've been marked for that life and kingdom by your baptism into his sacrificial death and resurrection life. You've been given faith to trust him by the power of the Holy Spirit, working through the gospel proclamation of that cross proclaimed to you. Your faith continues to be fed with the fruit of that cross, Jesus' body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of sin, so that your faith would endure to that final good day of judgment. For now, we endure in faith. We endure through all the tears and blood, the mockery and blasphemy, perverted justice and prophesied doom, trusting that Jesus' resurrection kingdom is coming soon. In hope, you gear up even now for that celebration, the celebration of the wedding feast of the Lamb and the reunion with your family in Christ and the endless gifts of Jesus and boundless joy in his kingdom. So, as it turns out, this time of year, as at every time of year, the gracious word of Jesus' cross is exactly the right thing to hear, after all. In Jesus' name, Amen.